Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At some point when we were growing up, all of us probably were warned not to hang out with the wrong crowd. Maybe we were warned by our parents, maybe by our teachers, maybe by our pastor, or maybe, God forbid, by a police officer. Whoever it was for us, we were almost certainly given this warning sometime, somewhere, by someone. When we were in school growing up, one place in which we might have hung out with the wrong crowd would be in the lunchroom. You probably know what I'm talking about, the bad kids' table. You didn't want to be caught eating there. I remember my sixth grade teacher warning us students against eating with the bad kids. Because, she said, if we hung out with the wrong crowd and ate with the wrong crowd, we might just end up becoming the wrong crowd. In our gospel lesson this morning, this is precisely what Jesus is doing. Jesus is caught hanging out with the wrong crowd and eating at the wrong table. Is he going to become the wrong crowd? We'll have to see about that. Certainly in the minds of the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus is hanging out and eating with the wrong crowd. They grumble, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." In Jesus' day, table fellowship, eating with somebody, was the be-all and end-all of acceptance. If you ate with someone, you were identifying yourself with them. The scribes and the Pharisees are angry about this because they think that he should be eating at a table with them. But instead, Jesus is eating with the sinners. The scribes and the Pharisees weren't really good Lutherans. We have no trouble beginning our services by calling ourselves out as poor, miserable sinners. Maybe there's something Minnesotan about it as well. The scribes and the Pharisees would never say that, though. They thought of themselves as righteous in God's sight, never as sinners. The sinners were the people who broke God's law, which was revealed to Moses at Mount Sinai, and which they, the religious leaders of the Jews, thought that they had a right to interpret, apply, and impose upon everyone. The scribes and the Pharisees thought of themselves as holy, as keepers of the law. Not like those common people who didn't keep the law, and certainly not like the tax collectors, prostitutes, cripples, and children with whom Jesus is hanging out. So they grumble against Jesus, just as their forefathers grumbled against God in the wilderness after Moses had received the law. What does Jesus do in response to such grumbling? He tells them a story, or rather two stories, both of which teach the same thing. In the first of these stories, Jesus tells the scribes and the Pharisees of a man who is a shepherd with 100 sheep. You know the story. One wanders off, and so he leaves the 99 to find this one that is lost. When he finds it, the shepherd puts it on his shoulders, carries it home, and then the shepherd does something astounding. He throws a party, a banquet. The shepherd rejoices, and he is so overjoyed in his rejoicing that he absolutely must share his joy with everyone he knows. He calls together all his friends and neighbors to rejoice with him. Arthur Just, who teaches at our seminary in Fort Wayne, says that such rejoicing in the first century where Jesus lived would have been a community event. And in the culture of the day, such rejoicing would certainly center around a table where a meal, a feast, would be shared by all. In the next story, the main character is different. The item that is lost is different, but the result is the same. We have a woman who loses a coin instead of a shepherd who loses a sheep, but the result's the same. The person who has lost the thing finds what they have lost. Moreover, the reaction of both is the same. The woman who has lost the coin, like the man who has lost his sheep, calls together all of her friends and neighbors to share in rejoicing over her finding what was lost. Like the shepherd, she brings the neighborhood together around a table and prepares a feast for them because she is so happy that she has found that which was lost. This, Jesus tells the scribes and Pharisees, is what God does for one sinner. He finds who is lost. God throws a party, a heavenly feast around his table. Looking at the scribes and Pharisees who were grumbling that he is eating with sinners, Jesus is essentially saying, I am eating with sinners because I am overjoyed to have found them. Did you catch that? Jesus just identified himself as God, who has come to find the lost. That's why he's hanging out with and eating with the wrong crowd. That's why he's at the bad kids' table, the table of sinners. But wait, there's still a problem here, isn't there? Might Jesus be risking becoming the wrong crowd by hanging out with the wrong crowd? Might he risk becoming a sinner by eating with sinners? There is absolutely no might about it. Jesus is identifying as a sinner. Jesus is becoming a sinner. But that is exactly what he has planned to do all along. That is why he has come into the world. Jesus Christ, true God from all eternity, equal in majesty and godhood to his Father, becomes a human like us in order to become a sinner like us. And Jesus did so for you and for me. In what Martin Luther called the happy exchange, Jesus took upon himself not only our humanity, but also our sin. And not ours only, but the sins of the whole world. Not only did Jesus become a sinner, Jesus became the sinner. And Jesus did it all for us. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees only got it half right. Jesus was coming to hang out and eat with sinners, and in so doing was identifying with them. No one, however, is exempt from the category of sinner or lost. Not the scribes, not the Pharisees, and not us. We are all sinners, and so Christ, who has come for all of us to sit down and eat with us, comes to us. We are all, each and every one of us, his lost sheep and his lost coins, who Jesus has come to find. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus came to find us, though, it was far more strenuous for him than just looking around for a lost animal or lost money. We've all known the frustration of looking for something we've lost, but we will never know the anguish that Jesus underwent for us. For Jesus, finding the lost took him to the cross, where he was put to death by sinners, and more importantly, where God judged him as a sinner, as the sinner. On the cross, Jesus took upon himself your sins and mine, and he took the penalty of God's wrath for all of them. There on the cross, the happy exchange took place. Jesus took your sin, the penalty of the law against the lawless, and God's wrath, and in their place, Jesus gives you his own righteousness, his relationship of perfect peace with the Father, and forgiveness. And then he was raised to life again for you at his resurrection, taking away your death in order to give you eternal life, a place at his table forever. And now, once again, Jesus comes to eat with the wrong crowd, with sinners. And he makes his table the table of sinners. Jesus, our shepherd, throws a feast of rejoicing for you and for me, the lost who are now found. Here again, at this table, Jesus identifies with us sinners. At this table, Jesus takes your sins away and gives you his righteousness, peace, and forgiveness. He loved you so much that he became a sinner for you, died in your place, and rose again to life to find you, his lost sheep, and bring you back home. Here he is. He's waiting and calls you who are the wrong crowd, but now have been made righteous to eat at his table. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.